Our scripture today is one that is, once again, perhaps not typical in what our thinking would be for the third Sunday of Advent, the Joy Sunday. We're at the pink candle, the Joy Sunday. But I believe it has application to our life, certainly, and even particularly in this third Sunday of Advent. So we're reading from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and it's many things have happened. We're going to talk a little bit about that within the message itself, but it is John the Baptist and Jesus talking through by way of messengers. From the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 11, the word of God for us today. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one that is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." So as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least of these in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our heart, the actions of our lives show forth your glory, your holiness. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So have any of you at any time in your life ever heard of some new thing or a place or maybe heard of or read about this best thing ever? Now, for some, maybe it's a vacation spot, maybe it's a movie, maybe it's a certain meal, maybe it's a place to view a sunset. Maybe it's to go see a certain athlete, someone to whom you look up and just have never seen in person. And you say, you just got to go. You got to be there. You can't miss. This is the best ever. I mean, oftentimes I hear some of the younger people talking about goats. They're not talking about goats. They're talking about greatest of all time. Yeah, I mean, you got to go to this place. It's the greatest of all time. Unless you've been there, you're missing it. You ever had something like that? Now, I mean, the expectations of the greatest, sometimes it grows in your hearts and minds, doesn't it? By what other people have said to you, by what you begin to think, wow, this is going to be, I've seen some great things. I've heard some wonderful, you take music. I've heard some music that has brought you to tears. It's just wonderful. But to think this is the best ever, the best, sets kind of a high grade, high mark. You anticipate being shocked, maybe even bowled over, just breathless, speechless, in amazement. And then the opportunity arises. You've organized your life. You've done everything you needed to do. You got to be where you needed to be or see who you got to see. And it's okay. I mean, it's good. But somehow it just doesn't, it didn't rock you like you thought you were going to be rocked. It was, maybe in your words, it was one of the best I've ever seen. Could I say it was absolutely the best? Maybe. But, well, I think this is where we find our story today. John, you see, is no longer out at the edge of the river, at the edge of the Jordan with the large crowds, calling them to repentance and baptizing them and helping all of Israel prepare for the coming of the Messiah. He's no longer there. Those crowds have gone. And from that grand setting, surrounded by hundreds, if not thousands, we find him in an altogether different place, don't we? He's in prison. He's all by himself. He's all alone in his mission. He's continued in ministry since that first day with Jesus. Remember when he met him at the edge of the river, and Jesus came to be baptized, and John was already starting to, in his misunderstanding, try to say, "Oh no, if anyone should be baptized, it should be myself by you." And Jesus said, "No, let all righteousness be fulfilled. We need to follow what my Father in heaven has declared to be right and true." And so since that day, he's been waiting. Now, we don't really have a good log of how often they interacted, but I suspect that they went their own ways because John's way was to prepare. Everyone still had to be prepared, lest they miss the opportunity to fully embrace the kingdom that was upon them. And so at this point, he's gone on and shared some truth with individuals, and he's had now to pay penalty for that. He's adopted more disciples. John's name was highly revered, and not only were people coming to be baptized by him, people were coming to learn from him, and more disciples had appeared, and he had a larger following than he did just a few short months ago. And he struggled with it too. Maybe John the Baptist now is struggling with what perhaps he thought was going to happen as a result of Jesus being baptized, being recognized as the Son of God, and how it was going to play out beyond that, much as some of the other people in the kingdom misunderstood. Some of the other followers who would come to misunderstand, perhaps maybe the greatest of those would be Judas, who thought he could force Jesus' hand by accelerating what he thought was going to happen anyway and just get down to the bottom line without following where God the Father would have us go. So I think in some ways, if we're honest, John is having some issues. He's no longer surrounded by the community that he expected to be. And as we know, he doesn't know yet, but as we know, he's not going to be removed from that prison. He's not going to be released. He's going to end his days there. And so he's coming to understand that all that he thought he knew about this great new thing that was going to unfold, it was not as great as he understood it to be. Or perhaps it's just his understanding needed to be informed a little bit more. And so what does he do? He sends his disciples, or at least a few of them, off to find Jesus. Now he's already recognized them, so they know who they're looking for, remember? When he passed by that day, he said, "Look, there goes the Lamb of God." And so he sends them off to find Jesus to ask that important question. And we all know what the question is, right? Are you the one? I thought about that this week as we're preparing. I'm going, can you imagine being able to walk up to Jesus and ask, "Are you the one? Are you the one we've been waiting for?" My master sent me. Maybe some of them couched it like that. That way they didn't have to be so personal. But I think maybe it was a little mixture of everything. Are you the one that we're waiting for, or is there someone else to come? And in the midst of that question, there's a lot, I think. Are you the one? Well, how can Jesus answer that? We know what the answer is on this side of resurrection. What does he tell him? He tells them, go back and tell John what you see and what you hear. It's an honest question. He already knows that John perhaps is struggling. There's some things here that don't seem to line up. You know, Lord, John was a good Jew. He understood what that Messiah was going to mean, that there was going to be a new king. Finally, we were going to have alignment in completely the way God intended. Some of those kings previous had gone wayward and had moved the people away from God. There was going to be a new king in Israel, and it was going to set everything back to the standard that God intended from the very beginning. And of course, everyone tended to seem this was going to be someone who comes in on a white charger with gleaming sword in hand and upset the existing status quo and change everything like that. But that was not what God intended. And so John's question has some validity to it. And I believe Jesus heard that. And Jesus, being who he is, can accept that. He says, you have some doubts. You're a little concerned. I hear that. But I want you to take this witness back to John. You tell him what you see and what you hear. You tell him that the poor have had good news preached to them. You tell him that those who were sick are being healed. You tell him that those who were blind from birth had never seen daylight, had never been able to touch and see their beloved's face, whether it was their parents or their spouses or their children, had never had that moment when you could recognize someone purely on sight from across the room. Those who were lame had never been able to provide for themselves to get up off the floor, but had to drag themselves on little mats, had to ask for scraps, had to belittle and demean themselves. Those persons are walking, standing upright. In fact, they're so filled with joy, some of them are even dancing. Maybe they danced a polka before they knew it was a polka. The most severely broken in all the community was being visited by the person, the Messiah. Oh yeah, there were some who would probably say, well, you know, if you're really going to shake this kingdom up, if you're going to claim what is rightfully yours, Jesus, what you should do is you should be hanging out with the people, the movers and the shakers. You know, those big politicos, people in high places, people that when they speak power, things happen, you know, like that. But that is not God's way. God's promise was the kingdom would be revealed in Jesus. And the redemptive love story would be unfolded as it was intended to be. And lo and behold, if we go back to Isaiah 61, just for a moment, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is the prophet speaking. Because the Lord has anointed me, has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord God, to comfort all who mourn. It's the prophet's prophecy coming true. Jesus is, of course, coming to usher in the new kingdom, but he's not coming to usher it in the way the rest of the human world understood it was going to happen. They'd heard the prophecies, and they, like we, hear the truth and only take what we think we understand and go with that, and don't listen for the whole truth and how it might affect us and wait upon it to understand it more completely. I think I understand that a little bit. Maybe you do too. So often today we have just little snippets of things. I remember it wasn't so long ago, was it Warhol who said you're looking for your 15 minutes of fame? Now you're looking for your 15 seconds worth of Twitter feed. Boom, 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 boom. I gotta get that out there. Boom. When perhaps the better choice would have been, let me just think about this for a little longer. Let me not be so quickly to be entrapped by those who would ensnare me. John's asking a question. Are you the one, or should we wait for another? Because, and this is the parenthetic by Greg, because you've not been acting the way I expected you to act. I thought when you were identified as the Son of God, you would have taken certain things upon yourself. You would have made certain changes by now that I would have been guaranteed that this was going to happen in the way I expected it to happen. Do you see? We get this the situation twisted around the way it ought to be for me, rather than however you intended it to be, God, is the way I'm wishing. And if this is truly your son, if this is the Messiah who's come to save us, then let us follow him. Whatever way is right for him is the way we'll follow. It's too easy for us to sit here and think, I like it this other way. You haven't overturned Rome yet. You haven't told Pilate exactly where he could take his things and go. You haven't stood up to Herod and shook your fist and spoken truth to power in a way that you ought to take that and that too. Jesus wasn't doing any of that, was he? And yet he was doing exactly the thing that the prophet said he would do. He was out speaking to the poor. The people who didn't even have names, they were just those people. They live on that side of the tracks. They live on that side of the county line. They're on that side of the town. They're in that older development over there. The people who needed hope, the people who needed the presence of God in their lives were the first ones God came to, just as his word said. So I guess Jesus was not at all surprised when even his cousin, John, is asking, are you the one or is there someone else coming? How often in today's world do we expect, we think we know exactly how God's going to work? And for reasons which, duh, we're not God, God works in a different way. God has another plan. God has already worked it out and we didn't even see it. It happened and we're sitting here going, it didn't work out the way I thought, but I guess it's all okay. Too often we try to make sense when we already realize God's ways are not our ways. He works in ways that are mysterious. He works in ways that are far more complex than even our collected minds can understand. We've been studying his word for over 2,000 years and we still disagree about what this means and what that means. So John's words to him were not upsetting. It's another opportunity for him to teach. And so what does Jesus say? He says, go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The very least of these are being ministered to. Just as the prophet said, the Spirit of God has heard the cry of the people. Not the political leaders at the top, not the ones wearing the fine robes, not the ones with names and additions to the front and the back of their names, not the people who declare themselves emperor of the world, but the little folks, the ones so precious in God's sight, who have suffered so long under the hands of this demagogue and over this demigod and this wannabe God. God's love is shared in the minutest places first. He knew their names. He knew their need. And he was not going to be rushed or moved from that task, even when John was challenging him. It's okay. You tell him what you see. You tell him what you hear. And then he goes on to give John a remarkable attaboy. Did you hear it? Let me read it to you just again. He says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Now, I don't know what you'd like to have on your resume, but I'd certainly like to have the Messiah, the King, the Son of the living God, be able to write, yeah. Not only was a nice guy, he was only my cousin, but no one born of women is greater. Pretty big, whoa. And then the same phrase, he says, yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Don't get bigger than your upraising. Remember whose you are and remember your task. John, remember, had been faithful. He had not faltered from the very beginning. His job had been to be what I call the front man. He kept saying, get ready, folks. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. We got to be ready. Our hearts and our minds, our lives have got to be ready to accept this great gift from God. He was faithful right till the very end. And so should we count it against him that he wavered a little bit and saying, it's not turning out exactly the way I thought. I think he's just showing that he's human. We too can have some doubts. Particularly, maybe we're sitting here in the third Sunday of Advent and say, you know, it doesn't particularly feel like Christmas yet to me. We've got a lot of things going on. It seems like the world is still going to H-E-double-L, you know, in a handbasket. It seems that there's a lot of people who are still suffering. It seems that there are still people who are sick, who are not well. It seems that people who are poor and being abused. There are people who are broken and misshapen. And seeing that helps us understand, well, why hasn't God taken all that away? Why do we still have to deal with all this? Maybe he isn't the one. You see, I think that opens a door to realize God can hear that question. It's okay. And for those who understand and who already accepted God's ways are not our ways, we can sit there and go, yeah, there's a lot I can't understand and I can't explain to you because I'm still working on it myself. What I do know is that God's word is true. And just as he promised it would come true, it has come true in so many instances. So for those instances that has not yet come true, that I could understand it, doesn't mean it's not happened, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means for this little brain, which is minuscule compared to the wisdom of the Almighty. I haven't been able to recognize it yet. So maybe I need to hear that wisdom from Jesus. Go and tell them, go and see. Tell them what you see and hear. And in the small ways, this community serves the coats we give to the children, the food we prepare, the ministries we have, bringing, even just bringing song and communion to those who are shut in. Those are the ministries that share the kingdom of heaven. Those are the ministries that share the kingdom of God, the very presence of life in us, by seeking out those people who are so often looked beyond. They're out of that prime demographic. They're out of the marketing of the world. And I believe that's where we're called to serve. Jesus never forgot our names. How are we so easily to walk by those other opportunities for service? I believe God's leading us to new ministries, new areas, to support the ones we have, but the new areas, because there are still those people in our communities, just outside these doors, that suffer the same way that first group did. And what a great Christmas present it would be for 2020 to find a way to reach them and share the good news with them. Because as I shared with the little ones here, when you're blind, the best thing in the world, you can eat a steak, but the better thing would be to be able to see again. When you've been cast aside and oppressed, the best thing is to hear good news for you. They say someone recognizes your name, prays for you, walks alongside you, is not let you be forgotten. Those are powerful ministries in 2020. They were the same ministries Jesus was doing in their very sight. So was John the Baptist reassured by that answer? Did the disciples go back and say, well, I tell you what, this is what he said. We asked him, and he said, what do you see and what do you hear? Take that back. Now, John, being a good Jew, I believe, he heard those words. Was he convinced? I don't know. We don't hear that. It's not mentioned. He does not, in any sense, recant or change his mind. Maybe he was still contemplating that. But the truth is, the blind would see, the lame would walk, the lepers were cleansed, the deaf would hear, the dead were raised, the poor heard good news, and blessed was anyone who did not take offense at Jesus. Interesting to note that this is only the second time in the Gospel of Matthew that he's listed as Christos, Savior, the Messiah. Up until that time, he's been always Jesus. But in chapter 11 again, he's declared as when John heard in prison when the Messiah, what the Messiah was doing. I think the gospel writer's trying to help us see that sometimes God works in ways that we're just not in tune with. Maybe most of the time. So the question we come down to is, did John get it at the end? I don't know. I think the more important question is, do we get it? It's not about what the world thinks. It's about what God has called us to. Can we share this great good news, this joyful news, this hopeful news, this peace-filled news with all the people that look and talk and smell and dance and walk and speak like us? Or are we capable of extending beyond that boundary and go as he went to seek the least, the lost, the lonely? That would be a gift worth combining our efforts to provide for others. That would be a gift that would point not to us, but to the one who gives us life. That would be a gift I'm in on. How about you? Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we've heard messages of hope and peace, and now we celebrate with this candle of joy, because in truth, we are already this side of resurrection. We've heard this whole complete story, but it's important for us to go back and to listen and to hear you calling forward the kingdom in simple tasks. And even though the rest of the world doesn't understand, we pray, Lord, that we're able to hear the message for us and move us from where we have grown comfortable into those areas that would speak loudly for your kingdom. where we could put our hearts and our hands to use for your glory. We pray it is so and give you all this in Christ's name. Amen.